This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we plow along in Proverbs 4, 5, and 6, covering the light of dawn, keep your heart with all vigilance, the danger of the forbidden woman, rejoice in the wife of your youth, and go to the ant. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
O most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment.
His mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Everlasting God, you have ordained and constituted the service of angels and men in a wondrous order. Mercifully grant that as your holy angels always serve and worship you in heaven, so by your appointment, may they also help and defend us here on earth. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 12. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
These past few years have provided an exceptional opportunity to view the Aurora Borealis, also known as the Northern Lights. Last summer, my wife headed up to northern Michigan with some friends, staying in a place where the light pollution was going to be rather low. Went outside to view those northern lights and was rather disappointed. Just kind of a glow in the sky, but nothing spectacular. Until she pulled out her phone and took a picture. And that camera able to pick up light waves that were not visible to the naked eye. And then she saw the wonders of God's creation in technicolor. It's amazing how technology often allows us to see things that we might not always be able to see. Think of the first time an X-ray was able to identify a broken bone. Then later, CT scans, MRIs, ultrasounds, all providing opportunities to diagnose a malady. But in that latter case, ultrasounds also giving us a glimpse into the amazing glories of God's creation, such as, for example, seeing the intricate details of a little child nesting safely in the womb of the mother. It's miraculous that these hidden things can be revealed. And so it is also with the hidden things of God, in a way. Take holy baptism. With the eye, what do you see? Some water, and with your ear, you hear the triune name. And yet, God's word reveals much more at stake here. How, in fact, we are being joined to Christ's death and resurrection, clothed with Christ, rescued from death and the devil. Or consider Holy Supper of our Lord. Again, deceptively simple, just a little bread and wine will touch your lips this morning, not enough certainly to quench your physical hunger or thirst, but yet, according to God's word, so much more. Weak souls nourished so that they may flourish, with heavenly food given to us, sins forgiven, faith strengthened. Christ's members united at his banqueting table as they feast on the very bread of heaven. It's God's word, of course, that opens these true realities to us so that we might receive them in faith. Sometimes it's helpful when a little picture can be given to help us understand better these wondrous gifts of God. Take, for example, the parables of Jesus and how he could paint a picture with a very simple little story. Sometimes perhaps something a little more dramatic is useful. As, for example, when we read the fantastic pictures given to us in the Revelation that was given first to St. John. Nothing captures our attention, for example, like the image of those four living creatures with eyes all around, or with the seven trumpets announcing woe upon the earth. Or how about those locusts like horses ready for battle, and the red dragon with seven heads and 10 horns. That brings us then to today's reading, where we hear like a headline, "War in Heaven." That beastly dragon in battle with the heavenly hosts, Saint Michael leading the charge. This war is unlike any earthly conflict, be it that 12-day war Israel had with Iran earlier this summer, or the ongoing conflict in Gaza or Ukraine, World War II, the 30 Years' War, the 100 Years' War, the Crusades. This vision given to John speaks of a cosmic battle, one with a decisive defeat as that dragon is cast down from heaven. Whenever we encounter the revelation to St. John, we are continually forced to ask, what in the world is going on here? And that is true again here today. Except here we have a very clear word that is proclaimed, a loud voice from heaven which says, they have conquered him, that is that dragon, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Yes, it's that Lamb that John has spoken of so clearly throughout this revelation. The Lamb who sits on the throne, the Lamb who appears to have been slain. This is the Lamb who is worthy to take the scroll, whose blood has ransomed God's people, the Lamb whose blood was painted on the doorposts, thereby protecting the firstborn in all those Israelite homes in Egypt, the blood that has washed the saints clean, the blood that cleanses us from all sin. That beastly dragon can only be conquered by the one who has shed his innocent blood, your Lord Jesus Christ. That heavenly voice not only proclaims the means by which Satan has been defeated, but it also makes clear that this is no mere vision. This is actually something that brings about a present tense reality. The voice says, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. Note that time stamp, now, placed right at the head to proclaim that this indeed now is the reality we live in. A clear indication that was given to John and to the seven churches to whom he was writing that the victory over that beastly dragon had been accomplished and was theirs even at that time. And so it is for you. When Satan lives up to his name and accuses you of all the ways in which you have failed God and your neighbor, well, just remember and proclaim, I am baptized. The eyes of faith recognize not just plain water, but water with God's name instituted at his command that causes Satan to fall like lightning from heaven. You can live in the confidence that as a baptized child of God, Satan's grip on you has been loosened, and he cannot harm you. Jesus' words to his disciples that we heard in the gospel reading make it very clear that as Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven as you went out to proclaim this release from captivity, the release that our Lord Jesus has won for us. And likewise, when you're wearied by all the changes and chances of this life, the struggles of the flesh, and all the challenges we face because we know we are culpable before God for all of our sins, then you live also in that confidence that he comes to you, even as he will this day, and as you are finally dismissed from this altar with that marvelous promise that you are able to depart in peace. Because once again, Satan has fallen like lightning from heaven. He has no claim on you. As God's children are battered by the lies of this world, with the mockery, the sneering at all the truth that God has proclaimed, you can be confident that God's holy angels continue to do battle for you. His mighty legions sent precisely to guard you in all of your ways. They do battle with the sword of God's word, which cuts through every lie and every accusation with the confident promise that in Christ you have been saved. The accusations keep coming day and night. That's what the voice proclaimed. And you can expect it to be contentious. Years ago, Martin Franzmann wrote about Satan's rage, calling it an idiot fury. That's a powerful image, I think. To which we respond with the words of Luther, "We tremble not, we fear no ill. They shall not overpower us." Satan will scowl, he'll attack, but with God's word, with his Christ, Satan has fallen. Indeed, let your eyes be open to see that he is falling even today. And so with the words of encouragement given to John and to the seven churches, we conclude with that marvelous promise, "Heavens, rejoice, for Satan is no longer your master." That is the Lord Jesus only. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
Giving thanks for the ministry of the angels who once heralded the salvation of God and who now help and protect God's chosen people, let us pray to the Lord for the church, for this community of believers, and for all people according to their needs. Lord of the harvest, give boldness to the pastors and missionaries of the church to spread the seed of your word abroad to all people. As your Son received sinners and ate with them, so open our hearts to invite and welcome all people to the gracious gifts of your salvation in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, have mercy on all who come this day to your altar and welcome them as worthy guests at your table of grace. Strengthen their faith, enkindle their love, and refresh their hope, that they may eat and drink of your Son's body and blood for their salvation. Lord, in your mercy, give wisdom to all those who serve in our federal and local governments, that they may act with justice according to the laws of our land, and that we may be a people who dwell in peace. Lord, in your mercy, Look in kindness, gracious Lord, on the poor and needy, the disadvantaged and homeless, the unborn and the elderly, the victims of abuse and neglect, that they may find relief and know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Send health and healing to all who are injured and diseased, and grant them patience as they wait on you. Comfort the grieving with hope, pointing them to the all-availing sacrifice of your only Son, that in their time of sorrow they may find joy in your merciful presence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks to you for all those who have departed this life with the sign of faith. Cause us always to remember that our citizenship is in heaven and to look for the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him your majesty is praised by all the holy angels and celebrated with one accord by the heavens and all the powers therein. The cherubim and seraphim sing your praise, and with them we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Oh,
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray,
"Our Father,
peace of the Lord be with you always.
Mercy on us.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in your holy supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.